Because what he preached, I'm encouraged about it. The Bible says in Matthew 12, verse 42, that the Queen of the South shall rise up.
I was thinking about preaching on the South shall rise again. I tell you, people say, well, why are y'all rejoicing so much? I tell you one thing, I've seen a lot of boys and a lot of girls running away from their homes, going out, losing their purity, throwing it all away. You know, spent all these years, their parents tried to raise them right, and they throw it away. I'm telling you, every now and then, it's good to hear of a testimony where somebody kept themselves pure. Amen. I'm telling you, it's good to hear it sometimes. I'm just telling you. And there's a whole lot more folks out there that are throwing it away. I tell you, it's something that, you know, people say, well, you shouldn't rejoice so much about it. I tell you, it's something he should be glad about. Yeah. It's something that he should rejoice about. People, then there's people that try to sit back and question it. Well, wonder if he did or whether he didn't. Some people sit back hoping that he might have. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. What a good testimony. What a blessing. I want to preach out of Matthew, or the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Bible says that there's only one sin that's a sin against your body. And it's committing fornication. He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. You go ahead and start holding hands. I got news for you. After a while, holding hands gets old. After a while, after you've done held hands, you want to kiss, and after kissing gets old, you'll go to the next thing. Because it starts getting boring after a while. That's what happens. So I'll just hold his hand, I'll just hold her hand. That's fine for a little while, then what's gonna satisfy you after that? After that gets old. People say, well, you know, it's just crazy. I can imagine, because I've seen it whenever I went to public school. You won't even hold a girl's hand? You won't even kiss a girl? That's crazy. I tell you what, it might be crazy to you, but it pleases God. It pleases the Lord. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. The Bible says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brother, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And first off, I want to mention this. If God thought like us, how do you think this world would be? The Bible says God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. David talked about it. He mentioned, might have been in the book of 1 Samuel, that would he rather be thrown into the hands of men? Would he rather be thrown into the hands of God? He said, God, why? Because God's more merciful than man is. There's times when we see people, I've heard people say, and I knew they were lying, come to find out it was a lie. I've heard people say things like this. Well, I swear to God it's the truth. And I knew it was a lie. And I sat there, in my mind, I thought, well, if I was God, I would probably just go ahead and kill him for saying something like that. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. The world, you know, here in the book of 1 Corinthians, they were having an argument. They were having division over the fact that some were saved under Paul, some were saved under Apollos, some were saved under Cephas. And they were putting these men on the platform. Well, Paul was preaching when I got saved. Well, Cephas was preaching when I got saved. Well, Apollos, he was preaching when I got saved. They're taking and they're putting these men up on a platform. And ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to know this. The Apostle Paul in this scripture is trying to tell these people, I'm nothing. I'm nothing that you should glory in. I'm nothing that you should brag in. Let me just tell you this. There's a lot of preachers out there that if they're in this same situation, well, I'm with this man because he preaches this way. I'm with this man because he's like this. I'm with this. They would love it. Thank God for the men that don't sit around and try to egg on getting all the glory and taking glory from God Almighty. Some people love it. I'll just be honest with you. Every one of us deserves to be in hell with our back broke, Every one of us deserves to be in the lake of fire and brimstone. Every one of us deserves the judgment of God and the wrath of God. Every one of us deserves that, friend. Every one of us. And as a result of it, he said that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. God's chosen the foolish and the weak things of this world, the base things, the things that are despised. Those are the things that God's chosen. You look back through the scriptures, you'll find Noah. Noah, ladies and gentlemen, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And could you imagine that the whole world must have thought he was foolish. God said, I want you to build an ark. And I want you to build this ark. I want you to build it this long. I want you to build it this wide. I want you to build it this high. I want you to put a window here. I want you to put a door here. I want you to build an ark. And the world would have had to thought it was foolish. Why? Because none of them got on board with him. Right. I can imagine he sent out there and he began to talk about how it was going to be a flood and it never rained on the earth. Everybody just thought that he was crazy. But he pleased the Lord. Amen. He pleased the Lord. You look at Elijah. He was out there dealing with all those prophets of Baal. He was dealing with them out there on Mount Carmel. And they said, well, we're going to find out whose God is the true and living God. We're going to find out. And those prophets of Baal, they went out and they got them some new wood. And they went out there and built them an altar and everything else. They began to jump up and down on it, praying for the fire to fall. And they begged out to their God, would you send the fire? And the fire never fell upon it. And Elijah would mock him a little bit. He got out there and he said, I want you to go get some barrels of water and pour on it. I can imagine the world saying, is he crazy? Is he crazy? He's got some barrels of water. He's going to go pour barrels of water on it. He went out and got those barrels of water. They poured it on and he begged, prayed and asked God. And God set that fire on it. Why? Because God might receive the glory in it. You look at Moses. You're going to ask a man, I want you to go speak before the ruler of the people. I want you to go speak before Pharaoh. The world would say, I'm going to get a man that has excellent speech. And I'm going to get a man that knows how to talk just right. I'm going to get a man that has a lot of money. I'm going to get a man that knows how to do all these things to go out and talk to Pharaoh.
Yeah, good.
But God went out and he chose a man that had a speech impediment, a man that couldn't talk just right, a man that wasn't able to speak the words all just right. But God went out and got that man and found him and raised him up and said, I want you to go speak before Pharaoh. I want you to be the man that speaks before kings. Ladies and gentlemen, why? Because God's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the wise. You look at David. David was just a little old ruddy old boy, the Bible says. David was just a little old nobody. And one day Samuel went out to go anoint the king of Israel. He went down there to Jesse's house. And Jesse said, I have this son and this son and this son. And he went through every one of the sons. And Samuel said, that's not the right one. That's not the one God wants. He went through the next, that's not the one that God wants. Went through the next one, that's not the one that God wants. You have any more sons? He said, well, yeah, I got one, but that's not the one you want. That's not the one you want, friend. And he said, oh, yes, that's the one God wants. That's the one God wants. That's the one God's going to use. That's the one that God's going to raise up. He went out and he got David. And David, ladies and gentlemen, went out to battle. His brothers were out battling. His dad told him, I want you to take a few crackers and I want you to go out there and give them to your brothers. They've been battling. And he got out there and saw old Goliath standing. Big old tall man. I don't know his exact height. Some of these preachers, they try to calculate this, that, and the third. I don't really know. I don't think they really know how tall he is, but he was a tall man. He was a giant. And I'll just be honest with you, if you're looking up at a giant, it really don't matter how tall he is. He's just a giant. It really don't matter. And I'll just be honest with you, if you put me up against Brother McVeigh, I stood there and I looked at him and you said, well, now fight. I'd be like, oh, goodness. I wouldn't care if he was 6'4", wouldn't care if he was 7 foot, wouldn't care if he was 13 foot. He's a lot bigger than I am. And he went out there over to Saul. Saul said, well, if you're going to fight this giant, I think you're crazy for fighting this giant. But if you're going to fight him, I'll tell you what you need. You need some of my armor. I'm going to put some armor over your head. I'm going to put some armor around your body. I'm going to put some armor. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a sword. If you're going to fight this man, you're going to at least have a sword. And he did the foolish thing to the world's eyes. He took and he threw that old armor down, threw that sword away, and he said, this battle's the Lord's. He went out there and he slung that stone, and he got those five smooth stones, and he went out and slung that stone, hit that giant right between his eyes, and he killed that giant, cut his head off, and took it into the city. Why? So that David didn't get the glory. So that David didn't get the glory, so that God got all the glory. Then Gideon and his 300 men. What was it? 20-some, 30-some thousand men that he had. And there's a few things that God had done. And he said, if your men get out and they're going to go across this river, they get down on their hands and their knees and they drink the water, that's the men you want. And then he said, if there's some men that their heart's not willing to go to battle, you just go ahead and pull them out. He had dwindled on down to 300 men, and they went out there and they defeated thousands and thousands of men. Why? The purpose was that God would get the glory. That God would get the glory. Ladies and gentlemen, God chose the weak things. God chose the base things. God chose the lowly. He chose the little nobodies. He chose... I'm just being honest with you. If you're in the eyes of the world, if you thought that God was going to move in a place, I mean, it's just a blessing that you could be in Black Creek and God meet with us. Amen. But in the world's eyes, they see this is just a little old building. This isn't some big old fancy stone or block or brick building somewhere out in some major city in New York City or Buffalo or something else. We're just somewhere outside on the backside of nowhere. And would you believe it that God's willing to meet with us? Would you believe it? Would you believe it on the backside of nowhere? No, I'm just telling you, when I thought that I was coming to New York for the first time, I thought I was going to the big city. Little did I know I was coming out to Amish country. Oh, I'm going to the big city. I'm going to New York. That's going to be awesome. Come out here to the backside of nowhere. But guess what? We don't have the nice fancy restaurants. We don't have all the entertaining places. We don't have all those things out here. But I tell you what, we can get out here. We can get God. We can get a hold of God out here. God's willing to meet with us. God's into the lowly, ladies and gentlemen. And Jesus was the lowly. The world thought, well, my goodness, if we're going to have a man that's going to be our deliverer, shouldn't he come in on a white horse and just take over, put the Romans into place? Shouldn't he just do those sort of things? That'd be good in our eyes, from our understanding. He's just going to come in. He's just going to, you know, whip everybody. He's going to whip all them Roman guards. He's going to put them all in their place. I got news for you. He may not have done it the first time, but he's going to do it the second time. He is going to do it the second time. And the government will rest upon his shoulders. And ladies and gentlemen, his name will be called Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. This world cries peace, peace. All these preachers cry peace, peace. Everybody's crying peace, peace. But when Jesus sits on the throne, Barack Obama can't give us peace. Donald Trump, he ain't going to give us peace. Ted Cruz wouldn't give us peace. But when Jesus sits on the throne, we're going to have peace on the earth. And ladies and gentlemen, the people say the Muslims are a peaceful religion. Ladies and gentlemen, but when Jesus sits on the throne, there's going to be peace. There'll be peace. And but when he came the first time, he came born in a little old lowly manger. The world would say, well, where's the glory in that? Why wouldn't he be born in the king's palace? Here's old Jesus taking on the sins of the whole world and putting it on himself. The Bible said the foxes have the holes and the birds have the nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. That's Jesus, friend. That's Jesus. And despised and rejected of men. Came into his own and his own received him not. Then that same Jesus went to the cross. Died upon the cross for our sins. And he took our sins upon himself. Ladies and gentlemen, he would have never went to the cross if everybody just loved him. Would have never went to the cross if he wasn't despised and rejected of men. Ladies and gentlemen, he was despised and he was rejected of men. And when he preached and he healed, people envied him and hated him and despised him. That's the things that God chose. Those are the things God chose. Look at the prophets. We all love the prophets. Oh, We love old Isaiah. We love old Zechariah. We love the prophets. I tell you, all those people, those Pharisees, they just love the prophets. They just love. They're the same ones that had him killed. They're despised. They were despised by the people. Why? These are the things that God has chosen. These things are foolishness to the world. I tell you, it's foolishness to the world. We listened to Brother Donnie Harvey this morning. He preached and he ran and raved and he enjoyed the presence of God. The world would say, that's just foolishness. God said, that's pleasing in my sight. You just heard what this young man said and the things that he preached and the things that he witnessed. The world would say, that's foolish. What's wrong with holding a girl's hand every now and then? God said, that's pleasing to me. God said, that's pleasing to me. God chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. Brother McVeigh, his old pastor, Herbert Williamson, when he was just had gotten saved and the Lord called him to preach, he's a man that couldn't even read. Why would God choose somebody like that? Because God gets the glory. God raised that man of God up and showed the power of God in his life. And the presence of God is on his life. He's a man that's been a blessing to my life. He's a man that's been a blessing to Brother McVeigh's life. He's been a man that's been a blessing to many people's life all across this country. You look at Brother Allen. Brother Allen, how many of y'all have heard of Resaca, Georgia? You know why you know of Resaca, Georgia? Because Brother Allen. There was no Brother Allen. Nobody in this building would have ever heard of Resaca, Georgia. Nobody would ever know that there was a Resaca, Georgia in the United States. Nobody would even care. God took a little old country boy on the backside of nowhere that would tie himself to a tree and fast and get a hold of God and raised him up. He's preached all across the East Coast. Everybody knows about Resaca, Georgia. Not everybody. A lot of these independent Baptists know about him. Why? Because God used him. God used him. You go look at people like Brother Morey. Wicked. He was wicked. I mean, he's still wicked. Still ungodly. I met Brother Morey right before he got saved. I remember first time I came in here, he was wearing a wife beater and shorts. And he looked like he wanted to kill everybody that he looked at. And I remember Timmy Asquith talking about, man, I'm just telling you, I wouldn't mess with that guy. And talking about arm wrestling and how he just killed him in arm wrestling. Now Timmy Asquith's beating everybody in the church. Now Brother Moy, he's had his biceps and everything else, muscles pulled. Now everybody can beat him, but. And in fact, we might all just line up after church. We're going to get him back for scaring us all these years. But would you believe that Brother Asquith would trust somebody like Dale Moore to let somebody stay in his house? Would you believe that? Would you believe God can do something like that? Would you believe God could do something like that? God can. There's list of me. I read a story about Percy Ray whenever he got called to preach. He had an agreement with Hollywood that if he went and played the role of Jack the Ripper in Hollywood, that he would get hundreds of thousands of dollars for playing the role at that time, which I believe it was in the 1930s. And turned it down, told his parents that God had called him to preach. He got kicked out of the house. I'm just telling you, the world would say, well, why in the world would he turn down hundreds of thousands of dollars? Why? Because that's the wisdom of God, friend. That's pleasing to God. Look what God's done in that. Look what God did in that man's life. He's influenced people that are influencing us. That's what God does. The world says it's crazy. It's just crazy. But it's pleasing to the Lord. I'm just telling you, God can take nobodies. God can take losers. God can take dope heads. God can take drunks. I'm just telling you, my dad, he's a preacher. His dad was nothing but a drunk. People say, well, what gives you the right to be a preacher? You don't come from a list of being a preacher. Well, he got a new father. He got a new father. That father was perfect. That father's the one that gives him the right. That father's the one that gives him the authority. That father's the one that gives him the power of God. That father's the one that gave him the wisdom of God. That father. And God does that sort of thing. God can take nobodies and show his wisdom and show his glory. I'm telling you, I listened to, just a few months ago, I listened to Travis Clayton's testimony. And there's certain people that you just sit back and you hear their testimony, and it's just a blessing to your heart. It just fills your heart with joy. And it blesses your church that God could take a nobody, a drunk, a heathen, a scumbag of the earth, and God would put him behind a pulpit to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, what's the foolishness of preaching? That God would raise up an old sinner, put him behind a pulpit to preach the righteousness of God. That's the foolishness of God. That's what God did. Why? Because it brings glory to God. You hear a testimony like Travis Clayton, and all you can say is glory to God. Hallelujah. You can listen to the testimony of some of the people sitting in here, and it's just a blessing. And you can only give God the glory for it. And then the Bible says, not many wise, verse 26 in 1 Corinthians, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. There are some. That's why I said not many mighty. There's not many of them, but there has been some. There has been some. And there has been some that were wise in the world's eyes. There's been some that have been mighty. There's some that have been noble. It talks about nobles. A lot of times in the Bible, it deals with the princes and the rulers and the kings and so on. There's not been many, but there has been some. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, I'm going to read this. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Let him become a fool. There's been people in here, I've talked to Brother McVeigh. Brother McVeigh, he's had offers even when he went into evangelism. Well, if he went back to his job, he could have made $150,000. And if he would have just done that, just went on back to the world, he could have done. That's where he came from, making good money, able to buy a house, able to buy cars, able to do all sorts of things financially. He had to become a fool that he might be wise. You go down the list, you look at Brother Asquith. Brother Asquith from How His Sons Talk, from people that I've heard, just a genius when it comes to business. Just an absolute genius. Helped businesses all across Columbia, South Carolina. Yet he lives poor. Yet he lives poor. He could be rich. He could have a lot of money. He could have those things. But he wouldn't be wise with God Almighty. He wouldn't. My dad, whenever he had first gotten saved and called to preach, he had a business where they did work even for R.J. Reynolds. If you don't know what R.J. Reynolds is, that was a tobacco company. Well, they were able, what he did was he did carpet cleaning. He was able to go into R.J. Reynolds and clean all the floors. They had been donating some of those buildings to the Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem. And him and his uncle were running this business together. And they went in for the first time to meet with a guy, and they'd been talking about a price over the square foot, 15 cents, 14 cents a square foot, that's what we'll do, because it's such a big building, huge buildings. I mean, thousands of square foot buildings. They went in, they began to talk to the CEO of the place, vice president, either one, whatever it was, and they finally came to agreement. He looked at him and said, well, are you willing to do it for about $1.50 a square foot? Making all kinds of money. Made tens of thousands of dollars just over a weekend off that job. Had all that stuff going on. God said, I want you to move down to Florida. Move down to Florida. And I can remember being a young boy sitting around the living room. And my dad, he would work all the time. He wasn't lazy. We wasn't poor because my dad was lazy. But God had brought him to that place. Yep. He'd sit there and he would work and work, and then we'd have to gather around the living room and he'd sit there. He'd say, well, we don't have the money to pay these bills, and if it's going to be done, it's going to have to be God.
Right.
I can remember, I remember just a few years ago, well, I was still living in the house, and I remember the money was getting kind of slim. It was wintertime. We didn't have a whole lot of money that time. But we had to have some oil put in our in for the heat. Didn't have the money to do it. Me and my dad sat down on our knees, prayed and asked God to take care of it. Next day, cash sitting in the mailbox.
Amen.
Cash sitting in the mailbox. But I said all that to say this. Sometimes you'll have to become foolish to the world to be wise in the eyes of God. Look at this young man. I went to public school. I heard what they said, and I'm not going to say this to brag on myself because I know the foolishness of it today, and I look back and I'm grieved at it, and I sincerely am. You could ask my wife, and I talked to her in private. She knows my heart. I was a state champion wrestler in the state of North Carolina, and West Point, you can go to my parents' house. Some people, they doubt things like that. They have the letters where West Point was wanting me to come to their school. West Point. Appalachian State, Gardner Webb, it really don't matter, but I'm just telling you. And I remember when I looked at it and I said, that's not what God wants for me. God wants me to preach. I can remember going to school. I can remember a few folks looking at me and saying, you have this opportunity? Why are you acting so stupid? Why wouldn't you do that? And I can remember certain people in my family that just thought it was crazy. And you know, whenever you meet people that knew that, and you meet people that were told those sort of things, and then you tell them, well, what happened? Well, I'm a preacher. They just kind of, you know, oh, that's good. You know, in the back of their mind, what they really think is, you're an idiot. That's what they think. Because they don't understand. They don't understand. I'll just tell you, there's no telling where I'd be today.
Right.
If I would have went that route. There's no telling where my life would be. I might have went out there and got me a great old education and done this, that, and the third. And I might have grown up and had a wife and got divorced and my life be wrecked and be strung out on pills and be a drunk. There's no telling where I'd be.
Right.
There's no telling.
Yeah.
But ladies and gentlemen, it pleased God. Pleased God. There's countless people that have stories like that. But why is it that God chose all the foolish things of the world? Why is it? Why? He might get the glory. God will choose a little nobody and raise them up. God will choose somebody that's just a nobody on the backside of Black Creek, New York, and raise them up. Put the power of God in their life. God can do that. God can do that. God can take a little old country boy and fill him full of the power of God and have him preach the whole entire East Coast. Preach them all over the country. Preach them all over the world. And send them all over the world. God can do that.
Amen.
Why? That he might get the glory. That he might get the praise.
Right.
God can do wonders. And I agree with the man that just preached. First thing you'll have to do is you'll have to purpose in your heart. You young people, you'll have to purpose in your heart. I'm going to do right. I'm going to serve God.
Amen.
You want God to use you? You want a touch of God on your life? I mean, I know it ain't Britney Spears or some reprobate. I know it's Jesus Christ. It's not, you know, somebody in Hollywood. It's not some sodomite. It's Jesus Christ. I know we're more interested in pleasing the world, being entertained by the world. When are you going to purpose in your heart? I'm not going to live after the world. I'm not going to listen to the country music. I'm not going to listen to the rock and roll music. I'm not going to listen to the rap music. People say, well, why you got a problem with it? Because most of the country music involved, well, there's a guy that he's from the same town me and my wife live in. His name's Eric Church. He's a country music singer. About all of his songs consist of, I can't wait to drink a beer with Jesus, and that's about it. That's what, I'm just telling you, that's what they consist of. I'm not going to ask you to go listen to it, but he literally does have songs that talk about drinking beers with Jesus Christ. Well, why do you have a problem with listening to country music? Why? Because it does influence your mind. It does influence your mind. If it didn't influence people's minds, then why is these young people acting the way they do? Why is it they act the way they do? Why is it that you can have teenage boys and girls, they look right, they smell right, they dress right, everything. They get 18 years old, they rebel against God, they rebel against mom and dad, they rebel against every authority God put in their life. Why? Because the world's telling them everything. Taylor Swift is telling them how to fall in love. When has Taylor Swift ever been married and stayed married? When did Britney Spears ever get married and stay married? They're telling you how to love. They're telling you how to love. They don't even know love their own selves. They don't even know love. And for some of you old folks, Dolly Parton. She said, I'll always love you. She don't even know how many times she's been married. She knows love. She knows love. These bunch of rap singers, I'm just telling you, because all you have to do is sit in your car, be at a stop sign, and the right next to you are talking about every, you know, they call women cuss words. Why are you against it? Because a woman's nothing but an object. And that's what society has told you young women to be, an object. You're not a human being. You're just a piece of trash. That's all you are. You're just something that can please me. That's all you are to the world. Why is it that you let the world influence you and tell you all you are is a piece of meat, and that's all you are? You're just an object. You're not a human. You're just something that can please me until I get tired of you. Whenever I get tired of you, I'll go find somebody else. You say, where do you get that from? I went to public school. I went to public school. Why do you think, you know, people say, where do you get this from? I know how they think. I sat with them at the lunch tables. I had to overhear the conversations. One time, a young man, he came to my lunch table and he started talking all that junk. I looked at him and I said, hey, how about you shut up and get out of here? He said, why you act like that? Why? Because I don't feel like hearing about a bunch of women's body parts and a bunch of cussing, a bunch of F words, a bunch of GDs. I'm just telling you the way it is. But the problem is, the reason why some people, they won't stay away from that kind of stuff, is because they're the ones guilty of it too. Oh, my friends do it, but I don't do it. I like that old saying, birds of a feather flock together. I tell you why you hang around those people that you do. Because you're just like them. People's little boys and girls, they grow up and they, you know, they run away from home and become harlots. They say, that poor girl, that boy, he's going to ruin. Poor girl. What about that poor man she's going to marry one of these days? What about that poor girl that guy's going to marry one of these days? They do that to mom and dad. They'll do that to their husband. They'll do that to their wife. They'll do that to their spouse. I just tell you, they teach you to be a bunch of fornicators. That's what this music teaches. That's what they teach. That's what's being crammed down the throats of our young people, that it's all right to be a fornicator. They say, well, that's having fun. I got news for you. When I was in high school, my best friend, he took 32 Tylenol and laid in his bed, and his mama found him upstairs, called the emergency room. You know why he did it? Because he went out there and committed fornication, and then the girl's dad made him break up. Girl, I tried to win to Christ, her brother blew his brains out because he'd been fornicating with some girl. That girl left him, went from some other boy, and cheated on that boy, took a pistol, blew his brains out. Oh, hey, that's just stupid. I'm just going to hold hands. I'm just gonna make out. I'm just gonna do all those things because, you know, I can control it. Because I'm not like that boy. He can't control it. I can control it. I can control it. I'm not like him. I'm not like him. People say, well, he's just a young man. We were sitting in an old man of God's house, me and my dad, a couple years ago. He began to tell us about Harold Seitler. He'd sit in on the young preachers preaching. I'm not saying it because I'm young. Half the time I feel like I'm old, but because my wife and my daughter wear me out. I'm just kidding, honey. But Harold Seitler would sit in on the young men. Somebody asked him, why do you do that? Why don't you do like the rest of the preachers and leave? He said, because if a young man has something to say from the Bible, it's just as important to me as if an old man says it.
Amen.
And I'll just tell you this. He isn't just some idiot that just ran his mouth. He just got out of school. He knows what it's like to be a teenager. I know most of them, they don't understand me. Mom and Dad don't understand what it's like to live today. Guess what? He went to a public high school. I know some of you go to Christian schools or homeschooled. I don't know what your excuse is, but he went to a public high school and lived clean. You don't have to be a fornicator. You don't have to be a dope head. I tell you why you are what you are. Not because mom and dad. Not because your aunts and your uncles. Not because your friends at school. Not because your cousins. Not because everybody else. You are the way you are because that's what you want to be. There's been kids that grow up in good homes that go bad. There's been great men of God whose children go crazy. What's their excuse? Then there's kids that grow up with hell in the home, grow up and become great Christians. Yeah. I tell you why, because you are what you want to be.
Yeah.
You are what you want to be. You got to purpose it in your heart.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go the way of the world. I'm not going to go the way of the fools. I'm not going to go the way that the world tells me to go. Let the heathen tell me to go. By the way, they're real happy.
Sure.
They're real happy. Look at some of these, Robin Williams. Oh, he's so funny. He's got it all together. He's a great star. He's so happy. Would you look at him? Killing himself. Oh, they're happy. They're happy, but they're all strung out on drugs. They're happy. There's everybody, we want to be like them. They've got it all together. They got the rock music. They got the girls. They got the drugs. They got the drinking. They're all happy. Yeah, they're real happy, blowing their brains out. They're real happy. The night I met my wife, I was driving down I-40 and there was a woman jumped off the banister of the bridge in front of an 18-wheeler. I drove by to see her blood and guts and arm parts and all the body parts laying out on the interstate. Oh, she was having fun, friends. I'm sure it was all fun. Oh, we're going to have a good time. What was all of her friends when she was standing at the bridge? What was all those buddies at when she was standing at the edge of the bridge? It wasn't nowhere to be found. Purpose in your heart. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve God. I don't care what my friends do. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care if my mom and dad go against it. I don't care if my cousins go against it. I don't care if my brothers and my sisters go against it. I'm going to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
That's what y'all to do. You don't have to go out and do that stuff. You don't have to. You don't have to. I tell you this. Young man, there's a lot of things that he's not going to have to deal with because he never caved into it. A lot of things. There'll be a lot of nights some of you people be laying in the bed with your wife, but you'll be thinking about somebody else. I'm just telling you the way it is. There'll be nights where you have dreams about, you know, that person that you were with the first time.
Yes, sir, you're right.
Tell you this, he don't have to. He'll keep himself pure and clean to his wife. He won't have to do that. He won't have to sit there and try to love his wife while he's sitting there thinking about all those other women he's been with. He won't have to sit there and do that. Sit there and struggle and try to, you know, figure out how to love your wife, how to love your children, how to do those things. He won't have to sit and struggle about that. There's some folks that have to. Some folks that have to. God forbid that you're so foolish. God forbid that you'd be so foolish as to take the things that have been said. Say, oh, that's just nothing. I'll tell you what the devil does.
Come on.
You look at Esau. He sold his birthright.
Sure.
For a morsel of meat. Sold his birthright. You know what happened? that thing that was so pure, that thing that was so clean, that thing that God had given, that thing that was going to be a blessing, become worthless to him. I tell you what the devil does. He'll tell you that purity is worthless. It's worthless. I tell you what Hollywood says, it's worthless. Everybody else, but I tell you what God says, it's beautiful.
Amen. It's beautiful.
I tell you what, one day when you get married, it'll be beautiful.
Yes, sir.
One day when you get married, it'll be beautiful. Purpose in your heart to serve God. Humble yourselves before God. God don't use people that are proud. He don't. Find one person in the Bible that was proud, that God filled that person with the power of God, and they did great things. They had to become humble. The Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, underneath the mighty hand of God, that He might lift you up. He'll do it. Why? So His glory can be made known. Humble yourselves. He said, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves.
Amen.
I tell you whose fault it is. It's that Obama in the White House. That's his fault. I tell you whose fault it is. It's them sodomites marching the streets. That's whose fault it is, isn't it? He said, if my people which are called by my name. We don't think that there's anything wrong with us. We think we've got it all together. We have all the answers. I tell you what, I have all the answers to life. You know, I've got it all together, and we've learned how to operate without God Almighty. Why? Because we've got it all together.
Yeah.
We don't need God.
No.
What do we need God for? To sit around and watch Fox News?
Yeah.
What do we need God for? It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. God will use somebody that's humble. He'll use somebody that's humble. The Lord, He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Though the Lord be high, yet has He respect unto the lowly, but the proud seeth afar off.
Exactly right.
The Lord loves those that will humble themselves before Him.
Amen.
Humble yourselves. Get out of sin. Get out of sin. Don't let a bunch of sin be in your life. Don't. People say, well, you know, what should I do about my television? And there's some folks that shouldn't have a television in their house. There's some. Why? Because they can't handle it. Sit around and watch things they shouldn't be watching. There's some folks that their wives, they get on Facebook. They'll be talking to all kinds of other men. Men talking to other people's wives. So that don't happen. I know preachers' wives that do that.
Right, I do.
I know preachers' wives that sit on there and talk to other men. And that's what they do all day. They'll sit on there and they'll talk to these men all day long. That man loves you. He really knows you.
Right.
He really knows. And they'll put those little pictures of themselves when they were 30, 40 years ago, 20 years ago, whenever they were in the prime, whenever they'd worked out that year and they had a six-pack and they had big muscles. We're going to put that one on there. Now they're a bunch of slobs, but you know they're really cool on the internet. I tell you what, if my wife stayed on Facebook talking to other men, I tell you what I'd do. I'd take that computer. I'd get me a 12-gauge shotgun. I wouldn't get me no 410. It don't have enough power. I wouldn't get me a 20-gauge. I'd get me a 12-gauge shotgun, and I'd blow that thing into hell where it would belong. And these televisions, some people can't help but watch wicked things. Now, there's some folks that they watch decent shows, and there are decent shows out there. There are some. And there's some folks, they can't handle having a radio in their car. They just can't. Is that why I have to have a radio in my car? People think I'm weird if I don't. I tell you what, when I was 18 years old, I liked, you know, to listen to some rock music right before the end. Whenever I wanted to get things right with God, I had one of those CD players that you can pop out of your car, popped it out of my car, left at home, didn't listen to that rock music when I went to school. Didn't listen to that rock music when I drove up and down the road. Didn't do that. Well, that's just crazy. Maybe, but I didn't listen to it. Maybe. Some folks can't handle it. There's some folks that can. Some folks sit around on the internet and looking up all kinds of things, and people think pornography is the only thing on the internet. There's some folks that have a worse problem with Facebook. Just as bad a problem. There's some folks that do. And all sorts of other things that are not pleasing to the Lord. Sitting on gossiping. I got rid of my Facebook probably 3 or 4 years ago. I was on there, you know, I was going to try to be a Christian. I was going to help some people on there. And hold on, how many of those people are in church today that I thought that I was helping?
Come on.
None. I thought I might have helped one. And she acted like she really, this girl, she acted like she really wanted to get right with God. Blah, 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 blah. She's a dopehead today. I really helped a lot of folks on there. And, well, this one girl and a few guys, they were on there one time talking about the devils of hell are going to come get you and all kinds of stuff. I was like, I'm not going to stay on Facebook anymore. They're telling me all kinds of stuff. You just wait till you're at your pillow at night. And these devils, they're gonna come and they're going to torture you and all this. I was like, well, I'm not on Facebook anymore. But that was the end of it. But there's all kinds of crazy stuff that goes on there. All kinds of crazy stuff. I tell you what also happens. Some of these girls meet some of these boys on Facebook. Some of these heathens on Facebook. Some of these boys meet some of these girls on Facebook. I have somebody in my family. They've threatened to run away from home because they met some boy on Facebook. I tell you what I would do. I would change my entire life. I would leave home. I would change everything for somebody that I've never met in person. I would do everything to change my life. That is a smart thing. I mean, come on. I'm gonna run away from home. I'm gonna do whatever I want to do. The problem today is that when they run away from home, Grandma and Grandpa are there to take them in and accept them and say, oh, you can come be a fornicator at my house. You can come be a dopehead and live at my house. You can come be a drunk and stay at my house and rebel against Mom and Dad. God forbid. I tell you what Grandma and Grandpa would do, say, you're not going to live at your Mom and Dad's house. If you're not going to live there, you're not going to stay at my house. You're going to get right with God. You're going to go apologize to your parents and get things right with them. Yeah. Until then, don't come over here. But my little granddaughter, well, they'll have nowhere to go. They'll live on the streets.
Good. Doing a lot of good. Yeah.
God forbid. I've had to deal with some of this stuff, so. There's been some sleepless nights over little girls that thought, I'm mature, I'm running away from home. That's mature. I tell you what a mature person does. Mature person knows how to listen to Mom and Dad. Mature person knows how to listen to authority. That's what a mature person knows how to do. I mean, little children, they know how to try to sneak around mom and dad, little teenagers. I'm not going to do what they do or tell me to do. That's mature, folks. It's real mature. I'm mature. I'm 18. I tell you what, I'm going to run away from home. I tell you what also happens. They just let them come right on into the churches. They let them sit there on the little pianos, sing their songs, raise their hands, sing in the choir, and act like they're holy. Never get preached on. They can feel comfortable. God forbid. God forbid. I'm not saying they shouldn't come to church. I'm just saying somebody ought to tell them the truth. Somebody ought to tell them the truth. And don't get into sin. You want God to use you? He'll never use you with sin in your life. He'll never do that. And, you know, we think that the biggest sins are being the only sins amongst most independent Baptists. It's being a drunk, being a dopehead, being a fornicator and an adulterer. That's like the only sins we preach on. There's a whole lot more than that.
Sure.
Whole lot more than that. He said, be holy, even as I'm holy.
Right.
Be holy. You want God to use you. Be holy. Be holy, even as He's holy. Those wicked things in your heart. You say, well, I don't have any wicked things in my heart. You're deceived. You're deceived. You've deceived yourself. The truth is not in you. Those things that get in our hearts. The bitterness, the hatred, the envy, the, you know, all those little things. God's not going to use somebody that sits around with bitterness and hatred and envy and strife and contention. He's not going to use that person. Get the sin out. Get the sin out. Get the sin out of your life. I'm just telling you, God can take nobodies. Make somebody out of them. God can do, that's what God does. He gives honor to the people that are not honorable. He can make them honorable. You take the heathen, raise them up to be children and men of God, ladies of God. The only, you know, a lot of times we focus on the boys being raised up. I tell you what, it's about time that America gets some girls.
Yeah.
Girls of God.
Yeah.
Some young ladies that love their husbands, that love their children, that are discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Keepers at home. And I know there's some people's situations that sometimes that's impossible. But God's pleased when a woman's a keeper at home.
Sure.
He's pleased when she's a keeper at home. He's pleased with it. Girls that know how to cook and clean and sew. Say, that's just foolish. That's just old-fashioned. Tell you this, girls were a whole lot more happy back in the 1950s when they, you know, what is it? They were barefoot in the kitchen baking biscuits and making babies, as everybody says. They were a whole lot happier. They were. I'm telling you, they had it so bad, about 50 of them were strung out on, 50 out of 100 were strung out on antidepressants back then, wasn't they? Like they are today.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
I think they knew how to be happy. They knew how to be happy. Girls knew how to be happy. Boys knew how to be happy. They didn't have to have some little video game. Play a little video game because I don't know how to do anything else. Because I don't know. I tell you what, we wonder why everybody gets depressed. There's been times when I've been depressed sitting in my house because I haven't done anything. I told my wife one day, I sat there and I was like, honey, this is it. I took a little hatchet, went out in the woods, and I began to, you know, cut down a big old tree. I sat out there for about an hour just with that little hatchet. By the time I got back in, I was too tired to be depressed. I was too tired. You think I'm lying? Go ask my wife. You can go in my backyard and find a little cedar tree about that big around laying out in the woods. And guess what? I wasn't depressed when I was doing that. Men ought to know how to be men. Women ought to know how to be women. We've got that role switch turned around today. Got switch. God, you've left God's way. Left God's way. And we look what's happened. Mama's left the home. Our children went to hell. That's what happened. Why? Because a child left to himself. What happens? Bringeth his mother to shame. We leave them to themselves at home. Leave them to them. We'll just throw them in a little daycare somewhere. So some heathen that don't know God, that don't even love our child, can raise it.
Right.
That's what happens.
You're right.
That's what happens.
Yeah. Fools.
That's what happens.
Right.
And I don't understand it. I don't understand why women want to leave their children. Yeah. Other than the fact they've been fornicators and adulterers.
Yeah.
This generation has told girls, y'all don't need to have babies. It hurts. Quit having babies. Don't have babies. I heard it. And I've heard it. And you know, I don't really like it too good. I preached at our church. Brother Harvey just preached it. Have children. You want to be happy? Have children. I like it. Have children. Have children. Women don't want to have children anymore. Where's the natural affection? You take my little daughter over there. She's almost 2 years old. She get them little baby dolls. She'll tell you, I've done taught her how to rock the baby doll. She'll sit there and rock it. She'll play with that little baby doll. Because even at her age, there's a natural love for babies. She'll pass a little baby that smaller than her, even at her age, she'll pass a little baby. She just loves little babies. And then you look at these little girls, they get 9, 10. They have these. Now that's stupid because you have to have Facebook when you're 9 and 10. There used to be a day when little girls used to play with baby dolls when they were 9 and 10 years old. That's stupid today because I have my iPad and I have my iPod and I have everything else. They now play with those little baby dolls, and when they were little girls, they were raised to love their children. Now they don't love their children. Going to the average convenience store and grocery store, down to Walmart. Down the south, we go to Walmart. That's what we do. I know what y'all go to up here, but I know it used to be a joke that everybody went to Walmart in the south. He said it. They all hung out down at the Winn-Dixie. Around where we live, they hang out down at the Sheets gas station. got the little country music blare. Don't ask why we Southerners hang out at gas stations. I don't get it myself. I always used to say that. Why do they hang out in front of Food Line? Why do they hang out in front of the Sheets gas station? Go fishing. Go do something else. But go into the average Walmart. Go to any grocery store. Go and see how women treat their children. They don't even want their children around. People say things all the time because, you know, they want to watch little Gracie. She's an angel. She's just an angel. I have to whip her about one time a day. She's such an angel. I'm just telling you the truth. She's such an angel. She's a pretty good liar. You say, well, your little daughter don't lie. Yeah, she does. She's good at it. I remember you say, well, she's little Gracie. She's an angel. I was at church about a month ago, and she was acting up in church. I took her over into the fellowship hall. I gave her a spanking. Why? Because the Bible said that foolishness is found in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from him. Right. Took her over there, and I gave her a spanking. I looked at her. I said, are you going to behave now? She looked at me, my little angel. She said, no! I said, what did you say? I gave her another spanking. I said, you going to behave now? She said, no! I said, oh, I gave her another spanking. And I looked at her, I said, you going to behave? She said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. She said it about 20 times. She's a little angel. But I don't know why I said all that. I've been hanging around Donnie Harvey too long.
Oh, goodness.
But tell you what, if you'll purpose in your heart, keep yourself pure and clean before God. Humble yourselves before God. God will use you. God will use you. I believe there's somebody here. I look at some folks that sit in here, some of these teenagers. There's times when I'm riding down the road and I can see some of them preaching one day. I just sit back and some of them aren't even saved. I just sit back and imagine them preaching. There's times when my heart rejoices just hoping that one day they get born again and God will call them to preach. There's folks that are little oddballs and you know, everybody thinks they're weird. Nobody wants to hang around them. And there's nothing, you know, too pleasant. I just see God raising them up, using them for His honor and glory. There's nothing special about them. There's nothing that the world says, well, he's going to be a great man of God. But God will raise him up and God will do it. And God's pleased with it. Yes. That's what happens. I'm done, Brother Cliff. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here. We thank you for the precious word of God. I pray that you help us
God, I pray that you'd raise up some young men and some young women.